Right, let's go into the world this evening. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have seriously given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right, so we'll just continue from where we stopped. We're looking at the believer's identity, right? Let's look at a few things around that. Look at okay, let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. You are my hiding place. 2 Timothy 3:16. Look at 15. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Right? And from a child that was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And all scriptures, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine. For reproof. It says for correction, for instruction in righteousness, right? So scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now look at what it says in verse 17. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now one of the things you see there is the fact that Paul is, you know, speaking to Timothy, his spiritual son, right? And he's saying that scriptures have a reason, or there's a reason for the scriptures. And the reason for the scriptures is to make you wise. What they're wise, there's what that means to be skillful, right? So it means that the scriptures are given to us to give us the necessary skills required, to have a firm understanding around salvation or regarding salvation, right? It says that from a child that was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, right? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So scriptures are fundamental for the believer. So when a believer wants to understand something about their faith, where should they look to? They look through the scriptures. They look to the scriptures. Right. So what does the word say about? So it means if you want to have a good understanding or a firm understanding of your identity, what do? You look through the scriptures. You look in, you look through the scriptures. Very, very important. Look at James 2 verse 10. And it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. All right, it says, verse 11, for he says, verse 8, it says, and if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to person, ye commit sin, right, and are convinced of the laws as transgressors. Now, if we go back to verse 2, let's go back to verse 1 actually. Let's read verse 1 all the way down so it can make sense to you. Don't forget, scriptures will be where we run to understand. Now, obviously, we've said it over time, we've taught it over time, that the writings of Genesis, of Moses, all the way to Malachi will be what Paul referred to as scriptures, because at the time Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, Timothy was not a part of what you call the books of the Bible. Right. However, in our world today, we've now had the letter of Timothy added into the books altogether. Right. So it means that we can now use the writings of Timothy to qualify them as scriptures. Right. So it means that James as well will be part of scriptures now. Matthew, part of scriptures now. Revelation, part of scriptures now. right? However, all they had for their spiritual growth was Genesis to Malachi. So they stayed within the confines and the walls of Genesis to Malachi. And that was where they grew, or that was where they had sufficient meal to be able to grow spiritually. You get the point, right? So, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1, the Lord of glory will respect the person or respect of person. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, right, in goodly apparel, and there comes in also a poor man in vile raiment, and yet have no respect to him that weareth gay clothing. To him that weareth gay clothing, right? He says, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand out there, or sit here under my footstool. He says, are you not then partial in yourself? So what is Paul, James addressing in James chapter 1, chapter 2? He's addressing partiality in the church. So why should there not be partiality in the church? It is because it is taught in scriptures. Right? Yeah, it is taught in scriptures. If you, so go back to verse 8, it says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, right? So it means that what he's talking about will be on the backbone of what was written in the scriptures, right? He says, and ye have no respect that weareth a gay clothing and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place and say to the poor, stand out here or sit down in my store, you know, partial. Now, it says verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Verse 8 now says, if you fulfill the royal law according to scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Now, we've taught this over time. What does thou shalt love thy neighbor mean? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself means the way you have been loved, extend that love to another. Or the way you've been loved, extend that love to your neighbor, right? So your neighbor is another human being. Your neighbor is another person, right? How do you know that you are a love being? The scripture teaches you. It's the royal law, right? According to the scriptures. So the scripture lets you know that you are a love being. It's your identity. Are we together, right? So when you see a Christian say, ah, me, don't step my toes because it takes a long time before I forgive you. That's not a Christian, right? That is one, taking his identity from outside the pages or the confines or the guardrails that God's word has set for us or should set for us. Are we together, right? So he says, if ye then, he says, if ye fulfill rather the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, ye do well. So when you love your neighbor as yourself, what do? You do well, right? That is an alignment with your identity. So are there believers who have a knowledge of an identity but don't act according to the identity? Yes. Altogether. So if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What have you done? You've done well. A good way to say that is you have now lived in alignment with your identity. Are we together? With your identity. Yeah? But it says verse 9, if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin. Yeah? Ye commit sin if you have respect to person. Very important you pay attention to that. It says, but if you have respect to person, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Right? So whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend anyone is guilty of all. Right? So, you now look at verse 14. It now says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and he has not works, can faith save him? Now, a lot of Christians read that this way. Right? They will say, faith without work. Look at it. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man can say he had faith? What does it profit? So it means the end, let me see. If you are to find profit in James 2, who should the profit be to? The profit shouldn't be into the account of the one that invests the capital. When you're teaching, you have to use all forms of teaching to communicate the point. Okay? You see, in life, when you try to invest, what do? You pick a capital, you invest the capital, right? And the profit comes into your pocket where the capital was gotten from. You see, when it comes to the law of work, who profits from your capital? The one that profits from your capital is thy neighbor, right? So your neighbor is the one that profits when you invest. What are you investing? The capital seed of love. You get what I'm trying to say? So that's what I was asking. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says? So it means that if a man says he has faith and does not have works, what does it profit another? It doesn't profit another. Why? Because faith without works will be a combination that should serve as a seed or a capital that is invested for profitability into another, into the other, or perhaps you can say the neighbor. You get the point, right? So he says, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man should say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? So faith can save a man when it comes to salvation. But beyond salvation is the workings and the walking of salvation, right? Yeah, there is the walking and the walking of salvation. Last, we looked at something very important, Ephesians 4, if you remember, right? When Paul said, let him that stole steal no more. So what will make a man steal from another, right, is one who does not agree or does not walk towards the concept or does not align his life with the faith and works concept, right? So when it comes to salvation, your works is not needed to be saved, right? Faith and faith alone in Christ is what makes you saved. When it comes to salvation, faith and faith alone, that is believing in the resurrection power is all that a man needs to get saved. But when it comes to relationship, interactions, communication, right? Yeah, faith and works is important. What is the works for? The works will be an investment or a capital that is put as profit to your neighbor. You get the point. So why should you, think about it this way, why should I expect you to give $1 billion? It is because you are a billionaire. You get the point. Why should I expect you to give $100 million? It is because you are a millionaire. So what is you are a millionaire? You are a millionaire means you are a, yes, it means your identity. Right? Your identity says you are a millionaire. You are a billionaire. You get the point, right? You are a millionaire. You see, there was something, I think it was a tweet that I've seen it over time, over the years, right? Some people say, which one will you choose? $100 million or 30 minutes with Elon Musk? Oh, gracious Father. Right? And somebody said a very interesting answer. They said, $100 million, I'll be able to take half of that and pay Elon Musk to come and have a consultation session with me. That sounds smart. All right. Yeah. But what are they trying to show to you in that sentence or in that question? They're trying to show to you, a revelation of the identity of the person you are speaking with. You get the point, right? They're trying to show, they're trying to make you understand who is in question. Who are you speaking with? Who are you talking about? So the identity. So your identity first, a millionaire. Your identity first, a billionaire. Then I can expect $100 million. Then I can expect $1 billion. Do you get that? All right? So it means by default, you can apply that same theory, for instance, into the concept of the love work or the concept of faith and works, right? You are a love being. That's your identity. So if you are a love being, that is why I expect you to walk in love. Yeah? I can't expect $1 million from somebody who has not eaten 2 times a day, who cannot feed himself and his family 2 times a day. Are we together? Or who has not eaten for the past 3 days, not because they are fasting, but because they don't have money to feed. You get the point, right? Yeah. So I'm expecting from a revelation of identity. So when the scripture says, what does it profit, my brethren, that though a man says he has faith and have no works, can faith save him? It says, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, right? What does it profit? So the profitability of your investment or the profitability of your capital that was invested should be seen in another. Altogether. So that's why it now says in verse 17, even so faith, if it had not works, is dead being alone. Is dead being alone. So salvation is faith and faith alone in Christ Jesus. Your identity will now, an understanding of your identity, let me say differently. Salvation is faith and faith alone. Once you become saved, you now have a new identity. Then there is a revelation of the identity that will now reflect in your workings and your walking. You get the point, right? So who are you? You are one who is saved. You are one whose Romans will say, Paul will say in Romans, that the love of God has been shared abroad in our hearts. The love of God has been shared in our hearts. So we are those who have received all the love of God. It means by default, our identity says love being. So for every time you check the slant or the heart of a believer and you do a litmus test, are we together? What will the test ring or what will the test show? love is present. But you know, not every time you take the actions, inactions, workings and works of a believer and you test for love, you don't see love there. You get the point? You don't see love there, right? Not every time. Why is that? Because there's a gap between the knowledge, there's a gap rather between who they are, right, and what they should be doing. I know, I think we taught this in the series last month. Was it last month? What did you do last month again? The year has been long already. Last month was it prayer? Hopefully it was prayer, right? Okay, it was prayer, right? Yeah, yes. And if it was prayer, we're talking about the knowledge gap. I think it was that series talking about knowledge gap, right? Yeah. So the knowledge gap between your identity, the gap between your identity and your workings and your walking is the knowledge gap, is revelation, right? And let me tell you something. You see what I found out in the Christian faith and having related with people of diverse climes and diverse religions and particularly diverse, you know, denominations and the likes amongst the Christianity, I found out that there is a lot around knowledge that people don't understand. Now, there is knowledge for others and there's knowledge for yourself. Please note that. There is knowledge for others and there is knowledge for yourself. What God expects is that as you grow in the Word of God for yourself, right, you now have the right knowledge you can communicate to help others. You know how Christians do? What I found out is we have a lot of Christians, right, who go as far to learn because they want to communicate, right, and they are hoping as they are communicating, they are getting instructed as well. It doesn't work that way. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. You should be one who is loaded, filled with the knowledge of God's word to the extreme. So, you see what I just said? Let me try and bring a full picture to it. So, when you hear me say things like knowledge is the gap that, I can't remember the one I was telling for prayer, knowledge is the gap between, you know, your prayer and your, yeah. Let's use this context. Knowledge as a gap. There are two faces to the knowledge. There is the knowledge that you think is deserving or is meant for somebody else. And there's knowledge that you need or you think that it is for you or you think is for you. A lot of Christians, they listen to God's word, right? And they don't allow God's word to work on them. They don't allow God's word to work on their hearts. They don't allow God's word to change their hearts. Are we together? You should be a man who is... So that is why you should not be surprised when a believer acts abnormally. You get the point? Yeah? Particularly when you see a believer act abnormally and they've spoken about or against that abnormality. You get the point, right? It just really means there's a part of their heart that they've not exposed to God's word, but they've exposed to learn God's word. There's a difference. You can expose your heart to learn God's word. Do you know that you don't have to be a Christian to go to God's Palace page and listen to what we've taught over the years and open a Bible school and teach it? You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a Christian. You get the point? And that should sing and say a lot to you. Yeah, you don't have to be a Christian to be able to go to a website of a church, listen to the pastor, 3 days. It's the same way you would do to a career book or a motivational teaching or a podcast or a career podcast, a growth podcast, a life podcast, a business podcast. Do you understand? You don't have to be a Christian to understand a business concept. It's the same way you don't have to be a Christian to understand how to communicate the knowledge. But you see, a lot of times, if you find yourself as that or in that position as a believer, it will change. It will change there will be a clear, obvious gap between what you teach and what you act or what you say. And that's why I was saying to somebody a few days ago, and I was saying, I believe that as a pastor, you should first be a Christian. Yeah, a lot of us, right, we end up getting ourselves into the cobwebs of trying to live a life because we want to teach people, right? But we've not as much allow God's word to work on our hearts, right? And I'm saying it to you as well, right? No matter who you are, where you are, learn to be a Christian. And you cannot live be a Christian without allowing God's word to have a free course into your mind. How do you know that you are somebody who just wants to learn to teach, yeah? More often than not, you're looking for topics or series, having left a conversation or a debate. You know what I've done over the years? I've almost never gotten into a conversation that led to exchange of information, and I knew the gap in my knowledge, and I allowed that to spur me to study immediately. Never. I'll say it again, right? So if I talk to you, I will have a conversation, right? And let's say it's something that I've never seen before. I don't understand. It doesn't give me a firm understanding. I don't pause because I'm always studying. So I don't pause my present studying to understand that. Although I can mark it somewhere, right? And come back there over time to come understand it. You know why? Because more often than not, I will go to understand, to be able to either explain, right? Defend my slant or to explain away your slant. So you now find out that if for any reason I find myself in a position, I remember I was having a conversation with a friend a couple years ago, right? We're talking about Matthew 6, seek first kingdom of God and righteousness, and we're trying to explain from verse 23, the best of the air, you know, and all those kind of things, you know. So I gave an explanation, right? And he gave an explanation. It was over a phone. It was a very good friend of mine, you know. It was over the, it was a phone call, I think, you know. And I listened to what he said. But you see, I was doing something different at that point. It took me over 6, if not 8 months, to go back to that series to go and examine. You know why? Because if I had done that because of that narrative, I would eventually be learning because I want to. So I'm trying to say you have to be factual with yourself. You have to be true to yourself. Do you know that sometimes if you leave that kind of conversation, argument as it were, for sometimes, right? And for some people, you leave that kind of argument conversation and you go back home and start studying, in fact, because of the things you've heard, those things and those words and those sentences you've heard can even limit the expense of exposure your heart will get. Because you are almost going to the world to try and puncture something you've heard. So we find out that we have lots of believers who, so when you say believer, act in very strange ways. What has happened is the believer has heard the word, listened to the word, right, but has not paid attention to the word. That's why, you see, when God's word is studied in local church, anywhere you find yourself is the God's word. Don't be always first to accuse another. I wish my wife can hear this one. I wish my husband can hear this one. God's word first should work on you. You get the point? Yeah? That brother, I wish he was in this service. He'll be behaving as God's word should first work on you. You know, you find out that a lot of times, the things you relegate, the things you insult, the things you talk against, right? If you were to be in those people's shoes, you would do worse. You do worse. I've been saying this over time, and I've started saying it more frequently in very recent times. I say, don't try to explain the pain of a shoe you've never worn. Don't try to explain the pain of a shoe you've never worn. Right? Yeah. Don't try. Just listen to whatever you have to listen to. Cut some slack. Give some, you know, but don't try to explain the pain of the shoe in that one. Because it's the man who wears the shoe, the woman who wears the shoe, that knows exactly. Right? And it's one of the ways you can decide to look through God's word and don't overrate yourself. Don't overrate yourself. This kind of person, I cannot. Yeah, I've not heard people teach. I did not people who have preached against adultery and find themselves in that situation. Like, adultery is too far. Have you not seen believers preach against lying and find themselves in lying? Just after this call, you could, you know, either look in the mirror, right? And if you feel you're not the one in the mirror, call your partner to stand beside you in the mirror as well and look straight in the same mirror. You'll find out that one way or the other, you found yourself doing things you should not have as a believer. And what people now, you know, it now becomes interesting, this our generation right now, particularly the AI-ness of the generation and the, you know, the lack of, we're in a world right now, people don't like to take accountability for their actions and inactions. You now find out that because of the amount of knowledge made available to us, you will go and look for a teaching, a message, a series to try and explain yourself to make sure it makes sense. You will try to explain yourself to make sure it makes sense. Well, that's what people call reactional theology, right? You will go into the world, not because you want to grow and learn, but because you want to try and make a point. That's not the best way to view God's word. So, what scripture says that you are one who, in the real sense, need to demonstrate works alongside faith. To bridge that gap, you need to ensure that you are paying attention to knowledge. Not knowledge for others. Altogether. Not knowledge for others. Knowledge for yourself. So if you are one who only listens to message because you have an assignment, listen to message because you are going to preach, or listen to messages because Saturday is evangelism. You are going back to evangelism series, engaging the streets. What the pastor say, how the pastor say you should stop people. You go and pick track 5. Pastor say you should say, excuse me. Pastor say you should say, do you know what love is? Tell me about love. What a privilege to talk about love. Yeah. Eventually, what has happened is you are going to the world because you want to perform. You are a performative Christian. Right? That's why a lot of Christians don't live like Christians. My friend will say, a lot of Christians are not born again. It's a lot of Christians are not born again. And eventually, I understand what he's trying to say. Right? So, being born again entails that you are having faith and faith alone. Look at John 3. Look at John 3. Let me show you that from John 3. You are... John 3:16. For God so loved, go back to John chapter, okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what do you have? Everlasting life. So what does your identity say? You are one who has everlasting life. Not will have, not may have, not could have, not should have. Yeah, it is you have. You have everlasting life. If you look at verse 1, John chapter 3, all the way in verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus. He says, a ruler of the Jew, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, excuse me, except God be with him. He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he's old? And he entered the second time into his mother's womb and be born. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. I just remember something. You know, some 10 plus years ago, all right, I remember, I can never forget the first time I supposedly caught this rumor. This was 2014. I remember I was in a friend's room. Right. So how I used to teach John 3 was this. I'll say, very, 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 I say unto you, except a man be born again and born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do you want to know how I was explaining that? Say no. Do you want to know how I was explaining that? Just say no. Just say no. Just say no. So, that which is born of flesh is flesh. I used to explain it as when your mother gives birth to you. Right? So, flesh mother gives birth to flesh human. Then spirit becomes born again. So, I will now explain it as how can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? Meaning that because your mother cannot unborn you, it means the spirit cannot unborn you. All together. Interesting. Well, let's just leave it that way. Flesh and spirit is involved. That's what matters. Right? So it is marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Right? We said to be born again means to be born from a different world, a different realm. Right? To be born of and from the supernatural. All together. Right? So that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Right? And moreover, not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh from and where thou it goest. Now, if you look through what is happening here, born again as a concept is something that Jesus is talking about. And he talks about being born again as being born of the Spirit. Right? Now, if you look very well, the emphasis is being born of the Spirit. So John was talking of the same thing all the way through from verse 3 all the way to verse 5, 6. Jesus rather. Right? So being born again is to be born of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit is to be born again. Right? And to be born again means to be born of water. Right? Now, born, I remember. What was this explanation? There's another part again to this dynamics again that was, yeah, we're born of flesh. No. Go back to verse, Go back to verse 5. Very, very, I said to you, except a man born of water. Yes, I just remember this rhema. This was a very thick rhema. It was one of my, you know, that kind of rhema that you roll under your sleeve so that anytime you go somewhere and people doubt the anointing of God upon your life, you just roll it out. So look at that rhema. So that which is born of water, and that which is born of spirit. So you know how when a woman wants to give birth, her water breaks. You get it? Yeah? So that's being born of water. You've been born of water. Now you have to be born of the Spirit. Interesting, right? But if you look carefully, the emphasis here is on having a new heart. You know, Ezekiel, prophet Ezekiel will say that in Ezekiel 36, right? He will say, go to Ezekiel 36, let's even look at that today. Ezekiel 36, and if we go all the way to verse 24. For I will take from among you, right, and gather you all of out of all countries, I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So what's the cleanliness that God is giving to man? Sprinkling clean water. When God sprinkles clean water, what happens? You become clean. When God sprinkles clean water, what happens? You become clean. Right? So I will sprinkle clean water. A new heart, in verse 26, will I give you. So sprinkling water is the same as giving you a new heart. That is making you clean. A new heart is not different from a new spirit. A new heart is a new spirit that God puts within man. The new spirit is not different from his spirit. Verse 27, I will put my spirit. So when you talk about your identity is incomplete without mentioning the work of the spirit in you. The work of the spirit within you, the work of the spirit in you. So God has put his spirit within us, and he has given us his seal forever, and that means we are his prized possession forever. So clean water will be symbolic for newness, symbolic for a new heart, symbolic for a new spirit, symbolic for the spirit of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. Right, he says, and such were some of you. Go back to verse 7. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Yeah, so people are taking themselves to court. Right, let's even look at that carefully. Look at verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Altogether, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge you who are at least esteemed in the church, right? So I speak to your shame. Is it so, right, that there is not a wise man among you? No. Not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brothers go to law with brothers, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Right? Nay, right? Ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'll probably look at this on Sunday, right? The concept of inheriting the kingdom of God has nothing to do with salvation. Altogether, it has nothing to do with salvation, right? So all this fits in the category of faith without works, the works part. Altogether. So he says, neither fornicators, idolaters, effeminates, abusers of themselves. He's just really teaching that these characters and these conducts are not found from the spirit as the roots. James teaches this in James chapter 3, again, where he's talking about can cold, bitter water and sweet water come from the same source, the same fountain, right? So that is just trying to say that this is not ideally in association with the workings of the Spirit, right? Now, look at what he says, where I'm taking you to. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Hold on. He just dealt with chapter 5, people committing fornication and adultery with their father's wives. You get the point, right? He just spoke about people having sense of idolatry. He just spoke about people taking themselves to court, people doing all manners of things, people being covetous. He now says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified. Are we together? But ye are justified. Now, does that mean that when the believer steals, he is not a thief? Or rather, when the believer steals, it is not called stealing because he is washed? No. Are we together? Yeah? Altogether, just like that brother who said, right, yeah, even if I'm in the process of stabbing someone right now, yeah, I'm still washed in his blood. Like I always tell you, when you see people like that, yeah, the first thing you do is ensure you don't keep your loved ones around them. Altogether, you don't let them marry your loved ones, don't let them befriend your loved ones, yeah, because one day your loved one might offend them, they'll get upset, right? And in Christ Jesus, they will say they picked up a knife and they, because they were washed. You know what I'm trying to say, right? So wisdom is what? Profitable, right? So people say, oh, I don't steal. Altogether. Just like the other one too, for I was telling me that does not die, that Christians don't die. Mm-hmm. That Christians don't die. We just, you can choose not to die. That Christians can choose to live to resurrection morning. And the person that taught him is no longer alive. You see why we deceive ourselves? Do you understand? The person that taught you this doctrine, the person that taught you, he has left. I don't think he chose. In fact, you get the point. So some people just take scriptures over the bar. Yeah? And what's the argument? For God so loved the world, he gives only begotten son. That's why I believe in shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I have everlasting life. I have the Zoe life. The Zoe life is in me. But, the truth remains that there are certain things that you ensure not to push beyond the boundaries. That's why Paul says, let him that stole steal no more. He didn't say, let him that stole no longer be called a thief, or let him never be acknowledged as one who stole. You stole. You can steal, and still be in Christ. So being in Christ does not mean that your actions are not the actions. Are we together? But the fact remains that your actions, which are your workings, do not align with your identity. So your identity is washed. Your identity is sanctified. Your identity is what? Right? Justified. He says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Altogether, he now goes further to say, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Altogether. So, if you look through scriptures, one of the things you will find out is that there are gaps that people usually experience in their walk or their walk. And it's because they've not allowed God's word to change them inside out. You know, God's word can change people from outside first. Before in. What I mean is, because you're a Christian, because you have to go to church, there's a kind of way you must dress. You must look like a Christian, carry a Bible. It looks like you've changed outside, but your heart is still, not renewed. That's what Paul was saying in Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing, the renewal, the continuous. It's a continuous process. So no believer gets to a point where you say, I have renewed my mind. No. You've not renewed your mind. You have renewed your mind, not full stop. It is, I have renewed my mind, comma, right? Not, I have renewed my mind, full stop. I have renewed my mind, comma. So it means it's an ongoing. It is actually a present and continuous. It is present and continuous, right? So the man who is born again is sanctified. The man who is born again is justified. The man who is born again is what? Is washed. You've been washed by his blood. You've been washed. Born again means you receive of his life. You receive the gospel. You receive of his spirit. Right? Yeah, Paul now says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. All things are passed away. So the identity you have is that of one who is washed. Right? Lift your hand and say, I'm washed. Say, I'm sanctified. Lift your hand and say, I'm washed. Say, I'm sanctified. Say, I'm holy. Say, I'm blameless. Say, I'm truly born again. See, I live a life according to my identity. See, I live a life according to my identity. See, I live a life according to my identity. See, the reality of my life aligns with my identity. Praise God forevermore. Right? So a lot of believers, the reality of their life is away from their identity. Altogether. Have you seen Christians that love to lie? Yes, I have seen. Altogether. Have you seen Christians that love the concept of lying? Yes, I've seen. Altogether. Why do you see that happen? It is because Christians have not been able to pay a lot of attention to the word of God to the point that it transforms them internally. You know that when God's word transforms you yourself, you know. Yeah? You know, have you heard people say things like, God's word has worked on me. Oh, if it was me before and this thing happened to me 10 years ago, 7 years ago, 5 years ago, this time last year, just thank your stars you didn't meet my old man. Just thank your stars you didn't meet when I was still trying to come into the Christian faith. Yeah, to a very large extent, that's one whose heart is being renewed. That's one. There must be a difference between how you would have reacted to scenarios last year and today. That's how you know you are growing. Yeah? That's how you know you are growing. There must be a way that is different from how you responded to things last year and how you are responding to things now. Altogether, right? There must be a way. You must be able to tell, yeah, so if this time last year you saw something, if this time last year you would go to a hotel room, yeah, maybe spend the night, all right, and the previous person that was there forgot their headset in the room, yeah, this time last year, what would you have done? Yeah, you would have done what? You would have picked that earpiece. It's just like my wife forgot her earpiece in one of the rooms we're staying in, you know, and I don't know what's giving her joy. She just likes tracking where the man with the earpiece is. She just come and meet me and tell me, the thing is on. They put on the earpiece. They're in the earpiece. She knows the address. And I'm like, move on from this life. All right. But if you were to be in that room this time last year, you would have done what? Kick that headset, put it into your pocket, go and charge it and continue using it. This time, this year, what do? You pick it and return to the station. Or you pick it and return to the reception. You get the point? And it means, let's assume between that time last year and this time this year, we've done a series which I did, for instance, last week, where we talked about let him that steal no more. Have you seen people who steal and justify why they are stealing? Altogether. Yeah? Yeah? Some people, I've not forgotten, there was a time, from the part of the world where I come from, there was something, when COVID hit the world, there was something called palliatives, right? And people were having palliatives stored in places. So the government of some of those countries were having those things, rather than disbursing them, they were saving them in some store warehouses where people would come and, you know, not and be waiting for COVID to pass so they can bring that and take it back to the market and sell. What happened? Some of those warehouses were found. What did you see a lot of Christians doing? A lot of Christians were going there to go and they were going. So let's assume you're on this call. You're one of them. You ate part of those. You ate part of that rice. Right? That's beautiful. But let it be that that's your old man. Eh? If you ate rice of palliative, you went to they found a place where government store rice, and your argument was I did not take any money that's for all of us. You and the two of them, yeah. Such were some of you. Yeah? What did you call them again? Yeah, your thieves. Yeah, all those things. Yeah, such were. Yeah, you are the same. You are one and the same. You see, stealing does not make it not to be stealing because you were first stolen from. I mean, because you and the receiver. I don't even know how to explain. You shall get the point. Yeah, see pastors calling their members to go and, you know, you see members. I saw one video of a man. He put one bag of rice on his shoulder, 50 kg. On top of it, he allowed them to load Indomie carton on top, and he was running. You understand? Okay, let's assume that happened during the, you know, Christian faith is a journey. Some people still explain themselves in that. They knew not to do it, but they still say to themselves that, so they can use my message against me. You know, as a pastor, one of the things you find out people do is that people hear different things from what you say. They are just like that day, it wasn't a few months ago, time is flying, probably almost 18, almost 2 years ago, when I finished preaching about how we must be devoted to Jesus. And somebody heard that message and took it to mean that they need to go out, they need to leave God's palace. You understand, right? You can pick what you are saying and go and roll with it and go and, you know, do all manners of things. You know, you're just interested how you see people do things. So people can still pick this message and still say, I can steal today, then tomorrow, we will change. Or they will say, if this was me 2 years ago, I would have stolen 3 cartons of Indomie. But now I'm stealing one. What is that? You are growing in the faith. Altogether. After the pastor said, let there just be a difference. God of mercy. People can do all manners of things. So you see a pastor calling. So in my mind, when I saw the news of the pastor calling his members and calling them to come and pray, in my mind, I was wondering, what has been your message to your folks? Altogether. Right? Or let's say it differently. Let's assume you just started the church. What will now be your message to your folks? So you shouldn't have a problem when somebody comes in, steals the keyboard of the church. You don't have to place any curse on anybody altogether. You just taught them how to do it. You supervised them and showed them where to loot. You get the point? So stealing cannot be justified because you were first deprived of an opportunity. No. Stealing is stealing. So there must be that difference between you. See, think about it this way. Don't just let it be there's a difference between you now and you 15 years ago. Let there be a difference between you now and you yesterday. That's to show you are growing. There'll be a difference between you today and a difference between you of January. I'm saying we are just starting a new year. We're probably July, February 11th, right? We're just starting a new year. Okay, so there's a lot of time that has gone into this year already, right? Even though we are still in the early phase. But there should be a difference between you, January, and you now. There should be things you've seen in God's word that you know they don't align with your identity. And you're beginning to intentionally allow God's word to make you change those things. See, these things I'm talking about are not things that ideally are things that you need to make public or they are public. They might be private information, private knowledge. But the fact remains, you're allowing God's word to change you. You understand? You're like, just like somebody saying, before I got married, I used to sleep with women every 3 days. I just used to, I cannot control myself. I just used to, I shall thank God I'm better. Now I've been married. I cannot count more than 4 or 5 as slept with his marriage. Yes, I say you are green in God's word. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to say that you must ensure that there is a... See, the difference between good and bad, I hope you know, is not gray. It is white and black. Yeah? The difference between good and bad, right, is not gray. It is white and black. This is white, this is black. Yeah? Don't stay within the confines of the world of gray. Go much more than gray and aim for white. Praise God forevermore. Right? So, even if I be in Christ, is a what? Is a new species that never existed. So that means you are a new creature. So don't allow the conduct that you've trained your mind with when you were under the world to be that which regulates how you live your life today. Don't let that be how you live your life today. Let the conduct of God's word regulate your conduct in our world, not your previous conduct. Altogether, not your previous conduct. Altogether. And I understand some people they find it very difficult to understand some of these things. And probably some of these things we'll talk about in coming days. The concept of restitution. Altogether. Right, because of the restitution, and it's a very interesting, tricky concept. And in fact, I know someone who, someone very closely. Right, he had finished from university. He had finished. He wrote his YA courses, JAM, but he went to a center. For those of you who don't know JAM, international audience, JAM is an exam you write to enter university. Yeah. So I think he had written in one of those centers where they give them answers. You know those kind of answers where those centers just tell you B A C C D D D D C C B B. You just be shady until you are done. So he had gone there, and if eventually got his result and passed and got admission into university, then in his third year, right? In his third year, so I met him when. Wow, time is flying. So I met him. So in his third year, he heard a message. And his third day, after the message, he went to go and restitute. So he went back to the school and he told them that, so he dropped out of school. Why are you people laughing? I've seen your faces. So he dropped out of school and he forfeited his academics. Do you understand? And eventually said he went to go and write YEC again. No, I praise God for him and thank God for him. This has happened probably 10 years ago. It was all over the news. And this is probably 10 years ago. He's been able to, reach out and complete his academics again. But the truth is, if you really want to be truly genuine, and I'm not saying what he did was wrong. Don't quote me. I've not said anything. But I feel like you need to go back to why are you laughing? I'm just telling you reality. You don't have to laugh. Right? Before you say, Pastor, say it's wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just trying to say that there's a full picture. Yeah? You see, nobody wakes up and the first time you cheat in life is jump. No. I don't agree with you. You've built that muscle. You've built the muscle altogether. You've developed it one way. That means there were other things. So you need to ideally go back to each of those, even as basic as taking meat in your mother's pot when she was not aware. Right? And go back to full restitution. But see, the truth is this, A lot of times, the concept of restitution even opens unnecessary wounds. It does so much harm than good. It's a good concept. Have I said it's good? Have I said it's bad? No. I just said it's a concept that exists within believers, right? But just do the right thing if you have to do the right thing. That's what matters. But what I'm trying to say is, beyond restitution as a concept, is reassurance of, in God's word, of who you are. So I'm trying to say to you, even if that's what floats your boat or that's what you have been instructed, and there are some that have personal relationship with God that tells them to do all manners of things, right? But I really believe that it takes a strong mind to do that, you know. But even if that's you, right, in the midst of the process, never forget to remind yourself of something bigger, of something that you now are that is bigger than your past. Please note that. Never forget to remind yourself of who you now are that is bigger than your past. Are we together? And fair, truth be told, there are some relationships, I'll tell you for free, right? The concept of restitution can be seen in different wings and different angles, but more often than not, people just see restitution from the angle of, killing, stealing, you know, doing all manners of things, and people have different paths and everything. But the truth remains that, there are certain times that it helps give people closure, there are certain times that it puts you into trouble, Just follow the leading of the Spirit. That's what matters. But in all of that, never, never, ever forget, right, to remind yourself of the person that you now are. Hopefully, that you are now a new person, new creature in Christ. You did that when you were not in Christ Jesus, or perhaps you were in Christ Jesus, but you've allowed God's word to work on you. So it means, this is not a story, but just imagine. Imagine the person that did restitution for JAMB, and he went to do JAMB exam and WAEC exam again. And this probably, because this is probably maybe 7 years after I did WAEC. And I went back to do WAEC again and JAMB. And he tried to prepare, study, and eventually got to the exam, but he doesn't know answer to the question. Right? He now goes back into copying. I don't understand. So you know, because you can listen to someone like me now and say, Patricia, say no, we're all a work in progress, WIP. Right. So imagine you are now in the same exam hall, right? For us to truly see true reconciliation, if you still cheat in this exam, no. Your problem was not your exam. Your problem was the course they gave you. You want to get higher score so that you can change your degree. That's just the summary. They cannot tell me any other thing. Right? You cannot tell me any other thing. So I'm trying to say that regardless of whatever your past is, either reconcile, resist, whatever it is, yeah, but just remember that there is now a new you, and your actions now must align with the new you. Yes, there are relationships that people have burnt bridges and they've come to rebuild. There are relationships people have scattered, destroyed bridges and they come back. I'm not talking about those kind of, that's more taking accountability and responsibility than restitution. Do you understand? That's more being a responsible human being. There are people who burn bridges, cut off bridges, just disappear in people's lives. And if you're that kind of person, for instance, it's not in your nature. Do you understand? People will upset you. People will still upset you. Do you know that there's not everybody who is smiling with you today that will not upset you tomorrow? I'm saying terrible. Think about it now. The only reason that someone does something to you and upsets you is because The only reason that someone did something to you and it upsets you that bad is because there is somebody who is in your life today that was once in, that is in a phase where that person that upset you was once. So more often than not, you are not certain if this one that is here will not still do what that person you are. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? So if you need to always remind yourself of your identity, don't always just be the person who just say, I know how to, you see, I can forgive. Some people say some interesting things and I shiver. You see, I can forgive anything. But you see, if don't touch my wife, I feel like, okay, you know, some concepts can be real and it lives in your mind and only you and God knows the concept. Do you understand? There's no point coming to come and voice it out to everybody and make it very. I can forgive anything, but you see, don't just speak to my wife anyhow. It means you need to go back to that first sentence that says, I can forgive anything. Yeah, because you cannot forgive anything. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. And that I'm not saying you should allow people to talk to your wife anyhow. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that ideally, you must be able to ensure that God's word regulates your actions so that your actions can lead to your what? Or can flow in line or in alignment with your identity. praise God forevermore. Look at 1 John 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Look at verse 11 for our time's sake. I'll probably pick it up again on Sunday. Look at verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. This life is in his Son. Look at verse 12. It says, he that had the Son had life. He says, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. That's John 3:16. So look at verse 13. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Are we together? So we know that we have eternal life. That's our identity. It's something we pay attention to. You see, a revelation of this will help you go through your daily lives, even if when things seem to be overwhelming, are right in front of you. Yeah? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath no life. These things I have written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So, there is the name of the Son of God that you must believe on. That in itself gives you a totally new identity. But a lot of times, believers forget it. Altogether, believers forget it. Yeah, look at 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, forever. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Altogether, look at chapter 2 of the same chapter. Yeah, it says, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same made the head of the corner. That's Acts 4, 9 to 11, Psalms 110, right? And the stone of the stumbling, verse 8, and a rock, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. That's what I did it. Right? He says, a royal priesthood, right? And a holy nation, right? You know, if you look through scriptures, there's the concept of the king and the priest, right? Now, Peter now combines both functions and offices into one and says, royal priesthood, royal dealing with kingship, right? Priesthood dealing with the work of a priest. All together. So we are priests on the earth, but we are royal. That's your identity. That's your identity. Yeah. Now, let me say something. When your conduct is not in alignment with this identity, don't use this identity to superimpose your bad conduct and be going to go and write everywhere. And I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a royal priesthood. I don't. A friend of mine was talking about a scenario of where someone had misbehaved, and they called the person to order, and they tried to correct the person. The person kept shouting at them, "No, I'm washed. I'm justified. I'm righteous." Oga, we know you are washed. We know you are. We just said you abused this lady. You understand? You abused this lady. You were very troublesome. You're very, what's the word? Violent to this lady. Come, let us talk. How can you? No. I'm not a volunteer. I didn't even call myself. You see, I'm righteous. I'm washed. I'm justified. You know, the word there, justified, means just as if. Justified, just as if no sin. Mm-mm. Yeah, be responsible. Yeah, be responsible. Say, I'm a chosen generation. No, you can't tell me that. You see, if somebody tells you that, if someone steals, yeah, the government and the law calls that person a thief. He might be a believer, but the believer is a believing thief. You have a point, right? Yeah. That conduct of thief should not be attached to believer. So what does he need to do? He needs to work on his heart to ensure that he detaches himself, his identity, from that action. But that action changes because he's a believer. No. That is not the case of what you touch, whatever your hand touch turns to gold. No. No, that there's no, somebody was saying at that time, say there's no evil in the sight of God. Evil only stands within the, and they use one very big, you know, within the corundrum, or one big one like that, within the corundrum of men. Those people like that, I always tell you, run from them. So you don't be a scapegoat whilst they are growing in their Christian faith. Because more often than not, life will show them, their eye will calm down. Right? That's just the way life works. You get it? So when the Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? A holy nation, you must understand, a peculiar people, you must understand it is within the confines of other people. Other people. Within the walls, the jurisdictions of other people. Yeah? You are an holy nation. Only you is not a nation. You get the point, right? You are a peculiar people. Only you is not a people. You are not a persons. Altogether, you're not the people, right? Yeah. So what he's trying to say is you are so a chosen generation is trying to talk about where you fit in on the grand scheme or the big picture of God. A royal priesthood, right? An holy nation, a peculiar people that ye should show for the praise. We'll look at that again actually some other time. Right? That you should show for the praise of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So you are now a breed of people, that we can say you are unique. You are unique. Praise God forevermore. Let's try wrap up in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:20. We saw this last Wednesday. We'll touch it again briefly. On Sunday, let's look through redemptive plan and redemptive work and the redemption of God. Let's try looking into that. So look at Ephesians 4:20. See what it says there. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off. This is a summary of what I've been teaching this morning. Did you get what I just said? This is a summary of what I'm... Look at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Right? In the vanity of their mind. Yeah? So you can call today's topic, walking not as Gentiles. Right? Look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. These are believers. But ye have not so learned Christ. Who are those? Who is Paul speaking to? Those who have heard the word, can teach the word, but might not be able to live the word. He says, and have been taught by him. You've not heard him. You've not learned Christ this way. And he says, if so that ye have heard him and been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. So the old man is corrupt. Stop using the old man to corrupt your identity that now reflects in your walking. Altogether, he says, that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? Now, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Look at verse 20. That is verse 24. Kai, that is, you put on the new man, right? So put off, put on. Put off, that means we have a new nature. We have a new, Paul says, we are washed, we are justified. Are we together, right? We are washed, we are justified. We've been set apart. We now have a new man. So put off the old man. So putting off the old man has a lot to do with conduct. Are we together? So Paul in Ephesians is teaching about conduct in reference to the conduct that aligns with the new man. So he says, put away the conduct that aligns with the old man. Look at that one more time. You have not, so why should you put it off? Because you have not so learned Christ. That's the way the walking of the Gentiles goes, or that's how the Gentiles walk. You see the point? So, and be renewed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? Spirit of your mind is genitive of apposition, right? Just speaking about the same thing with your emphasis on mind, right? So, and that be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Now, so you put on a new man, you must understand, has to do with conduct. So put on the new man, it is listen to what I'm about to say right now. Yeah? Let me know first of myself. So it says that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Okay? Right? When it comes to the Christian faith and salvation, when you believe in Jesus, there is the death and the dying of the old man, nature. Are we together? And the birth of a new man, nature. However, in the nature, there is the conversation of the old man and the conversation of the new man. So you put off the conversation. So your nature might have changed from the old man to the new man, but your conversation is not of the new man, but of the old man. Are you following what I'm saying today? Right? So what he's really saying is that be renewed in the spirit of your mind and that you put on the new man. So don't forget, this is the same Ephesians where it tells you verse 13, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, right? Chapter 2, for by grace are you saved. Are we together? We have been, and he had the quickening, chapter 2 verse 1, he had the quickening who were dead in trespasses, right? We were walking according to the course of this world, right? So in all those things, nature has changed. But conversation might not have changed. So he's saying that so how do you know that your conversation has not changed? It is when you start seeing your conduct far from your identity. Paul says, you have not so learned Christ. You get the point? He says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So in righteousness will be right living, in true holiness will be right standing, not based on nature, but conversation or conduct. Right? How do you know everything I'm saying is what I'm saying? Verse 25, wherefore? Putting away lying. So what is lying? Lying is the conversation of the old man. Can a new man with status, can he have conversations of lying in his newness? Yes. What should he do? Put off. What should he do? Put on. What are you putting on? Not to lie. You get the point? So wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor? For we are members one of another. So be ye not angry. He speaks about all those kind of things. Now go back to verse 31. Let all bitterness. So what is bitterness? WhatsApp group of what? Old man. Yeah, let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger and clamor and evil speaking, right, be put away from you with what? With all malice. With all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. So be kind one to another. What is that? Putting on the new man. Get up. Yeah, so be ye kind, tender hearted, putting on the new man. Be ye kind, forgive one another, putting on a new man. You get the point? Yeah? So how can we say put on the new man? A different way we can say it, walk in love. How can we say put on the new man? A different way we can say it, faith without works is dead. You get the point? So when faith is present, works is not present. What can we say? That's conversation of the old man. When faith is present, works is better. That is status new man changed. Conduct new man won. Right? So be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Look at verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and what? Walk in love. You know, don't forget, the book of Ephesians wasn't written in chapters and verses. So it means you read what you read from chapter 4 into chapter 5 as a conversation. You cannot start a conversation with therefore. So be it therefore is on account of the conversation of the old man and the new man that he has spoken about. So you put off and put on. What is putting on? Walk in love. What is walking in love? Let your works be evident with your faith. You get the point, right? Yeah. Let your works be, walk in love as Christ also had loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, look at that again. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Why will it not be named among you? Because you've removed the garment of the old man. The conversation of the old man, you've put it aside and you've worn the garment of the new man. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Are we together? For this ye know, that no womonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater, shall had any inheritance. Is that similar to 1 Corinthians 6? Yes, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember that? Yeah? Why? What is he teaching about? The conduct of the old man cannot emanate from the status of the new man. Right? So it is not in alignment. It cannot be a partaker of, or should not be a partaker of. Well, been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today. I hope you've been instructed by that. Right? So what's the goal? Yeah? Put off the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Put off the old man, put on a new man. What is that speaking about? Conversation, conduct amongst men. Conversation, conduct amongst men. So it is that let your new man conversation, right, emanate from your new man identity. You get what I'm trying to say? I'll say one more time. Your new man conversation, that is your new man conduct, should emanate from your new man identity. Well, I'll see you again on Sunday. Been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've been instructed by that. Let's take our time to listen to this again. Pay attention to it again, right? You could tell that I don't want the time to finish, but the time was up already.